They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
Jeez, it's flat out here in the outhouse. I'm actually in an outhouse, or is it a car? I'm recording from my car. This is Shitting with the Door Open. I'm Harley Breen, and I'm with me best mate, Wade Nathaniel Duffin.
Well, kind of together, kind of
apart.
We're
not together. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we have the distance of a very large part of our very large country between us.
Emotionally close?
Yes.
Geographically apart.
Well done, buddy. I looked at you say that and then look into the recesses of your brain to make sure that you'd used the right word. Geographically.
I was proud of myself for pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, man, what's been going on? Man.
What's been going on here is school holidays have just finished.
Yes.
And they were great. Hung out with the girls. Except last week, I had a migraine for like 2 days. And then my head is still a little tender. Still, I'm feeling like just, I feel fine. But it's just, I feel like I was like shaking around a bit. And then like my brain felt a bit funny.
Was the migraine on the back of maybe 3.5 bottles of red wine? Because that'll do it.
I was sitting in this room that had like white surfaces, and I was looking at my phone and I was writing, and the sun was like blaring in, and it was just too much like white light. And then my eyes started to go blurry and I couldn't quite see properly, and I thought, oh, I can't see my laptop, I can't do any work. Perfect time to pop down to the shop and get some iron pills. So off I pop. I couldn't really see. Like squinting my way down the street, get into the chemist, and I can't see anything. All I can kind of like vaguely see is like letters, and I'm like putting my eye right up to the pills, kind of like working my way around every pill.
Turns out you're in a hardware store. You're just buying nails.
I've walked into someone's house.
Oh, we're not far from there, are we? You know, like you're buying iron pills. Like how long until one of us just wanders into the wrong house because we forgot where we live?
And so that was crazy. I was sending like Claire these texts. She said, yeah, I was a bit worried about you because I was sending them, but I couldn't see what I was writing. So it was just like a series of like letters and like numbers just right down there. I'm going to schlay down for, okay, boy. You know, like just shit like that.
I love anyway. It. You in your text and your body and your reactions, it's all happening now because of age, but it's the same result as 3.5 bottles of red wine. Like you're sending confusing texts. You can't see straight. Oh, it's just age.
Just age. I've just got old. So that's what I was up to last week. Claire took the girls to the Royal Show. They had a great time. I didn't go.
Good.
That was good.
Well done. Congratulations on making a really great life choice of not going to the show with your kids. I've told my kids, they'll see it. We'll drive past one, whichever city we're in, or even if it's in a small town. What's that? Oh, that's the show. Can we go to that? And I will look at them and go, I will never take you to that. You can go, but I will never take you. You need to commandeer somebody else because I've had my time and I'm not doing it.
They loved it, man. They came back with just heaps of show bags full of stuff, telling me all about the day. I'm like, this is the perfect result. You guys had a great day and I had a great day.
Yeah, that's what I'm about. The only thing that makes me a bit sad about the idea of not going to a royal show again is the wood shop, you know? Where else do you get to see a wood shop?
I love the wood shop. Yeah. Love the wood shop.
Yeah, it's bloody great. Just huge meat axes of people just walloping bits of timber.
Like as they're standing on it as well.
Yes.
And just like, just watching that axe fly down. I love it.
I like the one where they have to put a little notch in a big post and then put in a platform and step on that and then put another notch in and then climb on that and then another notch. And then they're up the top and they're chopping the top bit off. It's fucking mental. Yes.
That's a sport. That's a sport we can all get behind.
Absolutely.
That's a sport.
And everyone watching is going, oh, please let that axe head fly off and hit someone. Like, just. Not everyone, just me.
So that's been good. What about you? What have you been up to?
Had a baby.
All right. That's enough of that. I don't want to hear any more about it.
That's the update. That's all you're going to get. We all know what it looks like now.
I mean, you had like 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got like, you're very experienced.
Yeah, totally. Someone said to me today, somebody from within the industry said, man, you're building your own footy team. And I said, by the looks of mine, it looks like more likely that they're going to run an ayahuasca retreat than a footy team.
So you had the baby.
Yes, we did. Listen, it was very, at the point of recording, that baby is now a week old. And it is, from everything I can tell, of the male variety. And it was pretty... Who knows, right? But it was very exciting. I was camped in the tent in the backyard because,
oh, really?
Yeah, because well, it's school holidays and obviously we couldn't go away anywhere for the school holidays this year because of how close to giving birth Hannah was. So we had the tent set up in the backyard, kind of as an added space so that because we, Hannah was having a home birth. And so I just wanted to create a bit of space where when that eventually happened.
Hey, Hannah didn't create that space. You created that space.
I created that space. That's right.
You created that space.
I put that tent up.
Did she put up that tent?
No, she didn't.
She did not put up the tent.
And it took
me
to put
minutes.
That up.
Yeah, could have been 1 minute if she had a little help.
So, the night before the labor started, not that you know when these things are going to start, it just once it's happening, it's happening. Walter really wanted to sleep the night in the tent.
Yeah.
And I said to Hannah, how do you feel about that? We were 3 days or 2 days, sorry, at that point, past due date, whatever due date is, it's all made up anyway.
Yeah.
And I said, look, if you're comfortable with it, I'll sleep out in the tent with the kids. And she's like, yeah, just have your phone on. I'm like, righto. So it was just her in the house, me and the two small children in the backyard. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone started ringing. I'm like, oh, God, telemarketers. And I answered the phone reluctantly because I was asleep. I found it quite rude that someone would be calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, come on.
But it was Hannah, and I was like, oh, it's my mate. I love her. And she said, this is exactly what she said to me, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, hey. And she goes, hey, could you come in the house to have a meeting with me? Okay. Like, I was so dazed. I actually thought that she'd got some sort of pregnancy insomnia and wanted to have a genuine logistical meeting with me in the house.
Yeah, just to talk about like the finances. Look,
yeah,
we've got like some tax bills. We've got a house meeting we've got to sort out. Very funny.
Yeah. So I went in the house. She was lying. She didn't want to have a meeting. She was in labor. So I immediately started filling up the pool, which is the main job of me in a home.
I think that is the big job.
That's the big job.
This is a group project, all right?
Yes.
And yep. Everybody's got a clear, defined role. Hannah, one job.
One job.
How many jobs did you have?
Yeah.
She had one job.
I had to run around and put the hose in both windows.
Two windows?
Two windows I had to open. I had to connect one end to the tap. You don't want to fuck those ends up. You don't want to connect the wrong ends.
And there's only got to open one window.
Ha 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 ha. Anyway, the hot water system that we have in this house that we've moved into was not big enough to fill the pool. And so then not only have I been filling the pool after opening two windows, let's keep
counting. Two windows, that's right, and I only had to open one, let me remind you.
Then I had to fill up pots and put them on the stove, trying to get them hot in time. Horrible stovetop. Don't even get me started about the shitty oven that I've got. Anyway, luckily, everything got done. I sent the messages that were required. And then, like the last two times, obviously everything is very different. But then also everything is the same. There's a familiarity to things and also a complete uniqueness happening at the same time. And this time, I think I was the most present. Like, I really was like, just absorb all of this, be in this moment. And it was incredible. The boy came out, and then the kids woke up, like right at that moment of birth. The two small children, Leonard was the big guy, was off with my parents for a holiday. They came to the back door and they're just like, "Hello," and I'm like, "Yeah, mate, yeah, it's happened." And they were so excited. The energy was so amazing. It was pretty electric, actually.
Excellent.
I feel genuinely honoured to be a part of that process. And I said to Hannah, like, within the glow of the birth, sort of maybe later on in that day, and I mean this so sincerely, I'm genuinely so grateful for her to have made the choice to have a home birth, because that choice is for all of us. Like, it's so good for all of us that she has decided to do that. And it's no small decision to make a decision like that, to do that. And I don't say it flippantly. I don't think there's anything easy about it. And there's certainly nothing lucky about the types of births that I've watched Hannah do. It's work and it's preparation and all of that. But the benefits are not just for her and the baby. It's for everybody else surrounding that. And the peacefulness and the gentleness of that whole thing, of simply not having to get up, get in the car and frantically go somewhere else, to just be in that environment. I feel indebted to her. I think it's such a great thing for me to be able to be around that, and for the kids and for her mother and, you know, all of that.
Yeah, man, that's a really nice way to look at it, you know, because it isn't like I guess for some people it's an easy decision, but it's a big decision no matter how easy or hard it is.
Yes.
And must be a lot of planning, a lot of research that goes into it. It's not something you do just
it's not something you do just on a whim. No. Yeah.
No.
I think for Hannah, it's been a lifelong preparation, because as a 5-year-old, she watched her mother have a home birth. You know, that informs what you think and know of birth. And even though she's done two home births, that doesn't make this one any easier or harder. That it still needs its own dedication and preparation to do this, and a team of people as well. It's not just me and Hannah, although it was almost just me and Hannah.
Did it come along quite quickly?
Very quickly. It was quite rapid. So the midwife had only been there for about 30 minutes when the baby was born. It really was just me and Hannah for that that first part of it. And it was super exceptional. And if you think that everything else calmed down in my family, you'd be incorrect. The chaos
I don't think anybody for one second thought that. Nobody listening thought it. I didn't think it. I knew you didn't think it. Nobody thought it.
The chaos was subsided for maybe an hour. Like, we were in the glow of this birth, and I hear a blood-curdling scream from the backyard. And I go out there, and Walter is in, like, serious pain and holding his face. and I take his hand away from his face, and his eye, like, it was within seconds of whatever had happened, which I'll tell you about in a second, it was already, like, it was, you know when you hit something very, very hard and it goes white? So it was white and then black and then purple, and this was within seconds after it happening. He had run full steam through the flaps of the tent, and Marigold had been running out of the tent full steam, and they collided at that point, at the same points on their face. Now, Walter, we talked about this before, that guy has got a head that even the Norse gods would be proud of, and he ran into Marigold, who's quite a petite kid, at the same point, both of them on their just the side of their eye. Marigold, not a scratch on her. Walter, 1 week later, still has this ginormous black eye from the collision.
I remember that. I can feel that. I feel that pain of like people like running into each other. Yes. I remember like I was in China a few years ago and with my friend Dylan, the great man.
Yes,
and we were just riding around on bikes. And he started riding towards me. He's like looking down at the ground. He's riding towards me. And I thought, oh, we're having a little fucking game of chicken, are we? All right. Well, I'll start running towards you. And then he didn't back off, but he's not looking at me. He's just looking down at the ground. He's like, oh, well, here we go then. I'm coming at you. We'd had a few beers. And then he doesn't stop. Like, well, I'm not swerving. We're crashing into each other. And then smash. And he got like the biggest fright. And I was fine. I was like, yeah, because I knew it was going to happen. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? I thought we were playing chicken. He's like, no, I was just checking the chain on my bike. Like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, we're playing chicken.
And neither of us lost. Well, it's that kind of hit, you know, when you hit that hard that you can smell. You know, it hits so hard, there's a smell of it. You're like, oh, shit.
But I felt it. I saw the white light in my head. I felt the fucking crack when you run full tilt. I remember when I was a kid just running as hard as I could around the side of the house, and we had like windows that open outwards, and I just didn't realize one had kind of like opened out, and I just ran smack straight into it. Down onto the ground.
Excellent.
Fucking wild.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, day later, I was down with all three of the children and my dad down at the beach near our house. It's a very, very shallow beach. At high tide, it's sort of knee high. Wandering through the water, which is
perfect
absolutely
for kids.
Perfect for kids, right? We've got this little blow-up boat. We take it out. The kids, they're a fair distance from me, but they could have been triple that distance and still only been in knee-high water. I'm just having a yarn with my dad, talking, you know, we're having a great chat, bonding. You know, I've just had my fourth child. He has four kids. We're chatting.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, from a big distance, Walter is running through the water like an Iron Man, screaming. And I went, well, that's the end of that moment, Dad. And I just get up. And he's just like, I've been stung! And I'm like, okay, buddy, let's go. And we get up, and it's like, where I live is quite a lot of elderly people. They're all walking their dogs. They're like, oh, is he having a tantrum, is he? And I'm like, no, he's just been stung. And they're like, oh, there's nothing that stings you out there. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because he has a lightning bolt across his arm and across his legs. So, like, really... Like, I had obviously had stingers all over him from some kind of jellyfish. Looked into it. I think it's called a blubber jellyfish, pretty prevalent around here. But Walter's not the kind of guy that internalizes any emotion. It is on the outside and it is loud. So I'm like, we're just going to ride this through. We're just going to ride it out. So we just ran together because he was like, I've got to go. And I don't know if the older kid had said something to him prior to this sting, but he just kept screaming as we're running home. We're like a minute from our house, but he just kept screaming, I'm going to die. And if I don't, I'm going to kill myself.
Jesus Christ. That's so dramatic.
That's so dramatic. I've got him. I get into the backyard. Hannah is having a nap. It's like a day post labor. So that's what you want too. Under your bedroom window is your firstborn screaming, I'm going to die. And if I don't, I'm going to kill myself. So she's out By the time she gets to the backyard, I'm in the backyard with a 2-liter bottle of vinegar, just tipping it all over him. That's the first aid.
Yeah.
Is to tip vinegar over the area. And then he's still like, and he's grabbing at it. Like, and he grabbed at his arm, the part that it was stung in his arm. It looked really nasty. Ooh. So hard that he busted the capillaries in his arm from his own grip.
Ooh.
And anyway, then I got him in the shower. So the first aid is vinegar and then a warm shower for 20 to 45 minutes. And he did all of that 45 minutes. And by the end of it, everything was tickety-boo, nothing wrong.
Fuck, that is intense.
Yeah.
That is really intense.
You know, it's so great that we've created this calm, peaceful environment.
That's right. You had like this home birth. They're like, we're all going to have it at home. We're going to create this beautiful oasis of peace.
That's
it's
right.
going to be this lovely thing. But no,
no,
I don't know.
No, you've got to factor in the other idiots that we've made. I was leaving the house to go and do a grocery pickup, and as I drove out of my front gate, I looked at the road and I went, "Oh, that's a big ass snake!" And I stopped the car, and this snake is crossing the road directly for my house. Walter was there with the gate, and I said, "Hey, Walt, check this out." I thought Walt would be quite into it. He freaked the fuck out. And kind of appropriately, it was a big, I would say, 1.5 meters long red-belly black snake. Not something that you want to encounter. And so I just thought I'd just be a patient observer of this snake as it just went straight into my yard, straight into this pile of branches that are right at the front door. And I'm like, oh, get fucked. And then it went under the house and was going up one of the posts right near the baby's room. And we're in an old Queenslander. There are so many holes. So I'm fast forward just going, right, so now I'm on snake wash. Am I? As the baby's going to sleep. Anyway, fortunately, the snake just continued its way through our yard and out the back. And then my mother-in-law, in front of Walter, was like, oh, listen, there's probably hundreds of snakes passing through here every day. I'm like, great, thank you. Thanks.
Look, there's mass killers hiding behind every bush. What can you do? All right, disease is rampant. The world is ending, okay? It's fine. Don't worry about it.
So I've got piles of rubble and piles of timber and old corrugated iron and old sheets of ply just everywhere around the house. So all of my projects are on hold. I won't be building anything, and I'm pretty sure I'm just going to set fire to the place and move again.
Oh, man, Queensland is wild. Everything's
wild.
Like jellyfish, spiders, snakes, just the wildlife up there that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Congratulations on the new baby. It's
Thank you, mate.
So exciting.
Yep,
it's we've exciting. Named like, him. I know we're like laughing about it and us teasing you and stuff, but I'm genuinely pumped for you. Because it's
Thanks,
fun.
Man.
It's
yeah.
fun to rip into your friends. And
absolutely.
Fun.
That's what
it's absolutely
that's what love
a beautiful
looks like.
Thing. That's what it's our love language. That's my
that's
love,
our love
language.
Language.
That's our love language. I'm horny for love language. Horny for windows.
Well, in celebration of how great a friend you are, we've named the child Wade Nathaniel. So,
Wade Nathaniel Breen. It could have been that, mate. Could have been that. Hey, yeah. If you jumped in there before Claire, could have been that. You didn't.
I proposed. I'm pretty sure we were out late one night and I asked you to marry me.
Man, so exciting. How's Hannah feeling now, like after, like a week after the birth?
Well, I think she's doing well. It's a simple question to ask, but it's a complex answer, isn't it?
True.
You know, there's all sorts of things happening because not only birth, you don't give birth and then that's the end. Everything's good now, off you go, because, you know, it took the body 9-10 months to grow that baby. And then I don't think there is even close to enough dialogue or support for how long after the birth there should be support and nurturing around that environment, which is something that we are, all of us involved in this environment are working very hard on to create that post-birth cocoon to protect Hannah and to protect the baby and let things happen really slowly. And I think we're doing, at this stage, 1 week on, I think we're doing a good job of it. And I think Hannah's doing really great. I think, you know, they're sleeping when they're not sleeping. There's fluids from their everyone babies. Coming out. There's crying, there's shitting, there's feeding, there's sleeping.
That's okay, but enough happening. About you. I want to hear about the baby. What a hack joke.
If you didn't do it, I would have said, what's wrong with him? What's happened? I know, I have been shitting. Oh, we won't get into that, though.
That's a beautiful thing to talk about, like that aftercare, that afterbirth situation.
Yes.
Because the body, it just gets fucking traumatized.
Yeah, well, it's a lot, isn't it? There's a big change. I probably wouldn't use the word traumatized, but it's a huge...
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
It's a huge... even ordeal, I wouldn't use. It's just it's big. What
it's a big thing.
Birthing people do, it's just a big thing. And I just think there's not enough discussion and dialogue around the other side of it and what we do as a small group that we are here in this tiny little microcosm, and then as a wider society and how we look after people who've just gone through that and be gentle around that. But I think we're doing a good job of it, hopefully.
Great. How do the other kids feel about the new baby?
They're really good. I didn't know how they'd go with the gender because Leonard and Marigold were both vying for a girl. Walter wasn't necessarily that into it being a boy, but that's just what he thought it was going to be. So I did think that there might be a little bit hard for Marigold to not have a sister because she's already got two brothers. But she was... Tickety-boo, pretty pumped, pretty excited about it. They're all really been great. Yeah, great. There's a lot of joy and excitement in the air, and I'm just trying to tap into that excitement and bask in it. And then today was Leonard's first day at his new school. Huge things happening.
Another huge day.
It's such a big day, and I've tried to be really... present with him as well. I mean, fuck, there's a lot on, right? A birth happens, there's kids' injuries and emotions to deal with. And then my oldest child, my firstborn, going through a really huge thing, which is not just going to a new school. He's moved states, left behind a group of people. He's going to a new school that the entire population of the school is smaller than just his grade that he was at in Melbourne. And it's a completely different style of schooling. So, you know, it's like big things on top of big things on top of big things. And this morning, Leonard doesn't, you know, show his hand that often. He's
usually a cool customer.
He's a pretty cool dude, right? And quite stoic about things. And he repeatedly talked about how nervous he was this morning. And I mean, his grade has 15 kids in it. Try and hide in that, you know? Like it's clear there's a new person here and you're going to be talk of the town. So I'm very keen to pick him up this afternoon and see how it all went. And if I have to, you know, predict anything, I reckon it's going to be nothing but positive. I think it's going to be the right fit for him.
I think and the thing about like a small school where everybody kind of knows each other as well is a bit of a community.
Yes.
So when you're in, you just kind of in, and you all of a sudden, within a few days, you're just, you've always been a fabric of that society. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't take you long to meld into it.
And the benefit for Leonard is that after, this first 4 days of school, he is going on school camp. Which also, that's quite daunting, you know, to go, hey, here's some new people. Now you're going on camp. But I kind of think it's the best way it could play out for him to get to know people is to go away for 3 nights and get to know each other and be out in the bush. So
and get up really some mischief and have some chats. Perfect. Mm. And it's great. Queensland's going well.
I guess on the other side of things, I'm feeling really isolated. I'm feeling really without you and without some really close mates of mine that are predominantly all down in Victoria, that I normally would have probably seen at some point within this week, even just for a quick catch up in between parenting duties, or, you know, maybe had dropped in at a gig. I'm quite a distance from Brisbane here. It's not easy to get in and out, certainly with all the other things that are going on. And so I haven't, you know, I haven't done what I have done as a job for 21 years. I haven't done that in the last 2 months. I haven't seen you. I haven't seen any of my other mates down there. And I'm conscious of the fact that I need to address that, because that's also really integral to my mental health, is to have that community, to see people, to even be on stage, to see my brother who lives in the same state, but he's almost 3 hours away. The big brother, and my little brother is, you know, over an hour away, and my sister, same thing. So yeah, that's that'll be an ongoing challenge, I think.
But I think,
like,
this...
I didn't want to neg you out and saying Queensland's going really well. It is, but it's not without its challenges.
No, I appreciate the honesty. But I think it's one of those situations where it's very easy to not pick up the phone. It's very easy just to not, like, give someone a call or give someone a text. And I've got to remember to call you more. You know what I mean? I've got to remember to, like, just pick up the phone and just check on, see how you're doing. Part of me doesn't want to, like, bother you. Like, but then, of course, if you're busy, you just won't answer the phone. That's the great thing about Harley. You know what I mean?
I'll just not answer.
Yeah, I really, I need to step up a bit there and just check in every so often. But it's easy to fucking isolate yourself, especially where you are. It's easy to fucking... And when, especially when you're, like, so caught up in the family and the kids and whatever, everything else that you've got going on, and the birth and, like, the new school, and you've got 1,000 different things on your plate.
Yeah.
That it's easy to just, like, I'll just push off this one thing that's a super important part, put off that, like, that friendship, that social side to one thing. But that's just as important as everything else. Like, the times where, and this is very different because I've got, like, friends close by, but there'll be times where I won't leave the house for, like, a couple of months, really, outside of dropping the kids to school and going to the shop.
Yes. Yeah.
That's all I do. And then I'll start getting, like, agitated and angry. And Claire's like, when was the last time you saw someone? I'm like, ah.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
I haven't seen anyone for, you know.
Well, the thing is, I've got a lot of people to look after, right?
And yeah.
I don't see that as a burden. I love it. But I've got a lot of people to look after. And I know this is a cliche, but I just I don't look after myself. And if I don't, then I can't look after them. And the same goes for you. Like, if we don't look after ourselves, then I've got nothing to give. And I do exactly the same as you, mate. In fact, just last night, I just found myself in a real stink. And I took a moment away to just sit and try and figure out why it was. And there was zero reason. There was actually nothing. There was no topic that I could drill down on that was shitting me. Yep. I was just really shitty at heaps of stuff. And normally we would record yesterday. So it's been a week since I've spoken to you. And I'm like, oh, I missed my dopamine hit. I missed that moment with my mate to fill me up.
Yes, you missed that, like, that open windows section. Like, you know what I mean? You need to open a window.
I just want my mate to open my window and fill me up.
And blow some fresh air in.
If I could want for anything for anyone in the world, is to find a friend like Wade that will open your window and blow some fresh air in.
I'm calling this one horny for windows.
Oh, I already knew it.
Oh, man. But it's that thing. It's so easy to give other people advice but not follow that advice for yourself.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so easy to say to someone, oh, you should give me a call. You should do this. You've got to look after yourself. You've got to fucking eat right, drink less, exercise more, see your friends, do this, blah, 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 blah. When I should give myself that advice. You should give yourself, like, the same, like, a good advice. Like, you're always giving me good advice. you should give that to yourself. Like, and I should give it to myself. And then I'll give myself some advice.
I can see the twinkle in your eye. It was so exciting. Your eyes were darting around. I'm going to say it.
As I started saying, like, the first bit, the second bit's like rolling into my brain, like, get it out, get it out.
I can see the smoke coming out of your ears. But all in all, it's been an absolutely wonderful time. And I am, like I always have been, in absolute awe of Hannah. I just think it's an incredible thing. Just one of the greatest things that I've ever witnessed. And I've got to do it three times with her. It's such an overwhelming joy. So it's things are tickety-boo.
Such a positive, you have so many positive things to say about like the birth. Like, I don't have anything negative to say about like when the kids were born, not at all. Mm. But I don't think I have like that same positivity or joyous feeling that you had either. Like, you know, it's just we were there and then it was kind of done.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was nice. Everybody around us was very nice. It was all a good environment. But I think I said in like, you know, like the first iteration of the podcast, like when the oldest one was born, I was kind of like pushed to the side.
Yes, yeah.
You're kind of like, you get out of the way kind of thing. And I felt very awkward. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, I did have a moment. I just came back to my head. During the labor, I can't even remember what I was saying. I'm very, very quiet in labor. Like, to the point of, in Walter's labor, the midwife actually leant in and said, hey, remember to talk. And I was like, oh, right, yeah, okay. Because I'd got myself into such a silent state because I didn't want to I didn't want to be in the louder person in the room, right? I just want to be there. I'm here if you need me, but not, I wasn't even saying that.
Yeah.
So I can't remember what I said, you know, because all jokes aside, I was racing around to fill the pool up and do all of that, and then Hannah was in the pool, and I was just probably just checking in on do you need or whatever, and I just went to say it. And Hannah, and you know Hannah well, this is not like her at all. Hannah just went, shut up. And can I say, when a woman who is in labor tells you to shut up, up you fucking shut. Like, you shut the fuck up.
That's it.
Somebody, fuck it. I shut up so much, I genuinely can't remember what I was saying. Like, it's fucked off out of my head. but still, oh, what a great, you know, what a great moment. It's awesome. I am full of positivity, man. I know I've already said it on this episode, but it's such a cool and unique environment to have a birth at home. You know, the candles are on, and there's inspirational pictures on the wall, and there's the music that Hannah has chosen for a birth is on, and everything's very calm while there's something fucking insane happening. There's a human about to arrive.
It's the most insane but fucking commonplace thing that exists.
Yes.
I think it is just this wild moment where somebody has grown a human being inside them.
Yes.
Like, they've grown bones, they've grown teeth, they've grown eyeballs, they've grown lungs.
Yeah.
They've just grown this thing. And then the baby comes out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, shit, now my life has changed. The world has changed now.
Yeah.
Like, it has. Like, it's like a drop in the ocean, but the world has changed. This new child will change it in, like, its own different ways. It's like that kind of butterfly effect. But at the same time, millions every day. Hundreds of thousands every day.
This is just happening all of the time. Every like you said, millions a day, and millions of people are dying. And just to make, like, you know me, man, I'm an atheist, and I don't try and find too much meaning and stuff. I'm trying to just be present with people and see that person. But my boy was born on the anniversary of my grandfather's death. And wow. I just find that such an amazing bit of here it is together. You know, there's life and death. And you know, we went from the day before to not knowing him and not having him. And the next day, now he's here. And it just, I can't imagine not having that human being in the world.
Yeah, it's such a strange and bizarre time. And soon it will become like the same way that Leonard has fit into that school. It'll just be like commonplace, and it's just like that's the fabric of like the family. Now like this baby is now just like the fabric of the family. And, you know, in a few months it'll just be like, okay, like it's all just become, it's a bit routine. And that kind of magical commonplace, I can't think of another word apart from commonplace, sorry, that's kind of magical, special, wild, commonplace moment will have kind of get lost in the distance of time for you.
Yes.
But every day that's happening.
Yeah.
All around you that's happening. Like that is just happening everywhere. And it is such a strange thing to dwell on. You know what I mean?
It's
like
really
when you get into it, like, it's fucking bizarre.
Yeah. And my mum, you know, she was the one that told me that my child was born on the anniversary of my grandfather's death, her father. And she said, you know, if you're thinking about a name, and I'm like, and I just wrote back, it's going to take a lot more than that to inflict the name Edgar on my baby. I mean, fuck her. She had three boys and she didn't name one of them Edgar. And you're going to throw Edgar at me? Come on, I'm sorry.
Well, actually, great friend of the show. A good friend of the show. One of her kids is named Edgar. I think it's a great name.
Look, I might have gone a bit far when I didn't know that somebody was...
I really had to say that and say something. Because Edgar's a good name. I like Edgar.
Oh, well, you have a fucking son then.
Man, this has been a great one. And I'm so stoked for you, man. I'm so happy.
Thanks, buddy. I am in the back of my truck in a Queensland heat wave. So it's like I'm doing Bikram podcast at the moment. Probably should wrap it up before I pass out and no one knows where I am.
But I think also remember to call me and I'll remember to call you and remember to call your other mates as well.
Yes.
Just reach out. Yeah. I think, you know, it's one of those things. You don't have to be in this 2023. Nobody has to be isolated.
No. And I just have to get rid of the idea that I'm a burden.
Dude.
And it's a really hard thing. It's a really hard thing to shake off. To think that all I need is to have a yarn. That's all I'm looking for. And I feel like if I reach out, like to you of all people, I feel like I'm going to be a burden, which is ridiculous.
No.
And I know that it's ridiculous.
But
in that moment, it's still in your head.
And it's very hard to go like, logically, I know this is a fallacy. Logically, I know this is not true. But emotionally, it's very hard to overrule those emotions.
Yep.
Very hard to overrule the heart, you know?
Well, I will leave my window open, mate, ready for you. What a good one.
Dads.